Hey everyone, thanks for checking out the show today. Today is the first episode of the Beyond the Lawn series where I'm talking to YouTubers and people in the lawn industry and going a little bit farther into their story, how they got into what they're doing, and hoping that you guys will find some interesting information in there and grow a little bit closer to these people that you watch online. So for the first show, of course, we have Mr. Connor Ward himself. So Connor traveled all the way from Utah here to Central Iowa to talk with me on the show and to just hang out a little bit. It was a whole lot of fun to meet Connor in person. We had a great time hanging out, and I hope you guys will enjoy the conversation. So what's up, everyone? Thank you for joining us today for the first. Are you going to say it, Connor?
Oh, yeah, the first. I'm taking my first, people. You guys are trying to snake me out of my first. This is mine. Got it?
He's here. He's here already. All right. So this was kind of my plan for today is I'm going to try to pay attention a little bit over here, what's going on, but I'm also going to just try to have a conversation with Connor, and we'll see if I can multitask. I'm not great at it, so we'll start with that. But what I'd like to do is probably just talk, and then we will stop for a couple spots somewhere in here and say, you guys have some questions. We will answer questions at that point. I think that'll make it easier. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm down for anything.
So you brought some snow with you today. First snowfall here. And was that specifically you brought it back from the mountains?
Yeah. I had planned that, and I thought that might be a nice addition to this event for
you know I us. Didn't ask you this when you got here, but since you live up at elevation, did it feel so much easier to breathe here?
Yes. No,
because every time I do go to Denver where my brother lives, I definitely do notice it, like even walking upstairs and things. I'm like, man, I'm out of shape.
It's a wussy elevation here.
Yeah, it is. It's like nothing. So of course you had to be first on the podcast. How did this first thing come about for you? It's like, seems like maybe an obsession. I don't know what you want to call it.
Well, everybody wants first.
Yeah.
I mean, the first is last, but, you know, I want first. And so I just have always seen people comment on the YouTube videos, first. And I'm like, you know what? I want in on that. And so I want to be first. So anyways, it's just for fun.
Yeah. But on Jeremy's video, I liked, if you haven't seen it, on the greener lawn, he did a little bit of we did a little play on trying to get you with the first thing, but you didn't know about it, but yet you kind of conned him a little bit too.
Yeah, I knew what was going on.
Yeah.
I took care of business there.
Yeah.
I got my first.
So I liked your little part of your skit there, because that's how I envision it, is you actually like sitting around waiting for videos to pop up, and then you run through your house and you're trying to get first. That's how I actually envisioned it, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, I don't even ever have the notification. I never really had that turned on my phone.
Yeah.
I just turned it on not too long ago. I had hit the bell icon, and then I was always wondering, why is it not notifying me? But it turns out I had that turned off inside the settings in YouTube, so I just turned it back on, and now I can get that and be right quick to the chase. But, you know, the truth of the matter is I'm always on my phone.
Right.
So I'm just on YouTube looking for new videos.
That's how it works out.
For my boys.
So easily for you. Yeah. So is this the first time you've ever visited Iowa?
Did you
tell me that?
I've been to Iowa, but mostly just passing through or driving. So
okay.
Yeah, this is the first time I've actually spent time in Iowa.
So any time that you were here before, was it during a summertime or like even driving through or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just driving through and it was summertime. If there's one thing I got to do when I'm here, I really got to go see a cornfield. Are there any of those around here?
We'll go like two blocks that way.
Okay. I got to see a cornfield for sure.
So explain your landscape a little bit to me, because Utah has a lot of different, I would say, to me, in my mind, it has a lot of different places as far as like terrain goes. Some of it's desert, some of it's mountain, like what we see in your videos. But is that pretty much just where you're located? Just depends on the terrain type of deal, and it changes a lot?
Yeah, Utah has a lot of different terrain, from southern Utah, where it's completely all desert, to northern Utah that has, you know, more mountainous feel and trees and stuff like that. But for the most part, Utah is a desert state.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're like the second or third most dry state behind, I think, Nevada.
Okay.
And so it doesn't, we don't get a lot of precipitation there. And so it's dry heat, dry cold. And yeah, it works good for what I'm trying to do.
So as far as growing things around there, like, are there any types of farms that try to grow things, or is it just kind of like, it's too dry to do like a mainstream farming thing?
Yeah, there are farms that grow watermelons and who knows what else. But yeah, there is agriculture in Utah for sure. There's lots of cattle in Utah, and yeah.
Which you have some like right by your house, right?
Yeah.
Some cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. As I think I've seen in some of the videos. So the bigger picture is, did you ever think you would be sitting here and we would be talking about who knows what and lawns and everything else and the YouTube fun and all that?
You know, I kind of never really thought that I was going to be on YouTube. I kind of, you know, always saw YouTubers on, you know, YouTube, and I was like, oh, I wonder if I could do that. But, you know, I don't know. Did I want to be on YouTube? Yes, because obviously I'm here, but mm-hmm. It just kind of happened. Like, I wasn't ever intending it to be a lawn care channel or whatever. I just made a video about my lawn and people liked it and they were like, hey, you know, can you make another one? That's cool what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so I just decided to make another one, and then it just kind of snowballed from there. And
right.
It was just kind of crazy how it all happened. But I never thought I would be here. I'm by nature not a real social person,
mm-hmm.
but I've become more of a social person with the lawn community, you know, with the YouTube lawn, like homeowner community. And we have, it's an awesome thing, got awesome, you know, bonds going with us all. And it's just turned out to be really fun.
Yeah, I agree. And I think from like seeing you on camera, yeah, I would never think that. Like, I would never think I would think you're like a really social person, which is what's interesting about YouTube, is there's some preconceived notions maybe about people and what they're like, and maybe it's true, maybe it's not. So that's kind of an interesting thing there. But so you, as we talked about Utah a little bit, but born and raised there then the whole time.
And I spent 6 years in California
before
I moved to the current house that I'm in, Southern California. But for the most part, yeah, Utah.
Okay. And growing up, so you're known now kind of as a rebel. So growing up, did you have that same type of rebel thing going on, or were you just a wonderful child?
Yeah, I'm bad. I've been bad. I am bad. I just am bad. I'm sorry to say it, but I have been bad. So, I mean, not like real bad, like of the law, but at the same time, like...
just getting into a little bit of trouble every once in a while.
You know, it's like that thing where people say, well, you can't do this. And I'm like, well, watch me. I'm going to do it. And if you're going to say I'm not going to do it, that's going to motivate me more
right.
to want to do it even more. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of where Lawn Rebel kind of came from or whatever, because like my lawn is not traditional.
Mm-hmm.
It's not traditional. You know, growing your grass at 4 inches, 3 to 4 inches is traditional. And I've never wanted my lawn that tall. I like the look of it short. And so it was like me rebelling against everybody else mm-hmm. doing that. But for the most part, yeah, I am, you know.
So there were, it's kind of like your rule breaker thing then. You're like, if these are the rules, then I'm going to break them because I don't like rules, basically.
Well, I'm fine with rules, but yeah, I guess.
Yeah. And so when you were a kid, did you like being, you know, were you an outdoor kid? Were you just kind of like, what were your hobbies as a kid, I would say?
I don't know.
That's sports
good,
at all?
That's a good question. A little bit with sports. I used to play in baseball in the pony leagues or little leagues or whatever, but that was a long time ago. But during my teenage years, I had my rebel years that kind of every teenager kind of goes through, and that kind of defined me a little bit of who I am today, and, you know, obviously, but...
Right.
You know, I... Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't like, because I, surprisingly, I did play quite a few sports, even though I'm like miniature sized. And so as soon as I got to about the high school age was when I was like, you know, all these kids are way bigger than me. I'm not going to be very good at this stuff. And that's kind of when I focused more on my music. And even though it had been there all along, it was kind of like when you're a kid, you just dream about being some sports star or something. And you don't have necessarily an idea of like what the limitations are when you're my size. So I was telling my wife today that, some people always ask me, because from a small town where I'm from, every single person played every sport because that's all you had. Like, there's,
you just sign up.
It's like, well, you need a team. We only have 11 people. We got to play. So I did not play football, though, like tackle football. And I remember, so I was one of the very few, and everybody kept asking me, like, what's the deal with this? Why don't you play? I was like, have you seen me? Look at me. I can't play tackle football. This is not going to work. So that's kind of when I...
He's a small guy, folks. Like, this guy is small. And, you know, you see these videos on the YouTubes, and we're like, you know, you get this preconceived idea of what their lawn looks like, or their house, or them as a person. But, you know, as you meet in person like this, you know, you see that, what they really look like, and it's a little bit different. So, yeah, he is a small dude.
And this is actually our first time ever meeting in person, an hour ago.
Yep.
And it is weird with the YouTube thing, or just online friends in general that you meet. It's like, it seems completely natural that we're sitting here having a conversation, that we've talked on the phone, of course. So, and just because you know your voice from watching the videos, you're like, oh, it's natural.
It seems, it's crazy.
It's weird. So everyone likes to always know what type of work you do. So
We could like put that up on the bottom of the screen here, because everybody's like, what does he do for work? What do you do for work? And I'm sure that has come up in the comments, like as the stream's going on. But I work for a general contractor. We build custom cabins for second homeowners. So
High end stuff.
Yeah, high end homes that are anywhere from around $150 a square foot to $500 a square foot.
And is this
beyond
something then that, when did you kind of find an interest in like the construction thing and doing that whole, was that like a school thing you went to?
That's a good question. I kind of got into construction after high school, and just as a job, you know, and then I just kind of just stayed in it. And then I took a break from construction for 6 years in California. And then the recession kind of swallowed me alive during that time. And that's when I moved back to Utah. And I know construction. I've been in for a lot of years. So I figured, hey, why not?
Right.
And I did go to school for construction management. So I got my bachelor's in construction management. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I do know construction and I enjoy it. It's fun to see things happen. And that's one thing I really like about lawn care, is that you can physically see things change quickly.
Yep.
So you put a little bit of effort into, you know, the grass or whatever, and you can see it change. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I really like about building and or like landscape or anything,
you
really.
You take something that's nothing, and then all of a sudden there's a structure there, and you saw the whole process and everything that went with it.
Yeah, and it doesn't take that long. So like with my lawn, it's just like you can take a mediocre looking lawn from junk to a good looking lawn in one season.
Yep.
So
with the construction thing during this time of year right now, or like, is it kind of like an off thing that you're just looking for things to do, or like what's an off season look like for that?
Well, in construction, everybody always asks, well, what are you doing in the wintertime? You know, you can't work, but the reality is we continue to work, and the only thing that we can't do is pour concrete.
Right.
So that you can pour it, but
it just has to be planned for like doing indoor projects and stuff.
So
like that.
We do our concrete in the fall, and then we finish the homes in the winter.
So since you guys are doing high end stuff, I'm assuming then that's just kind of limited on how much you're doing, how many builds you have like per year and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's just very specialized.
Yeah. Everything's all custom built. Mm-hmm. We try to, you know, the sky's the limit with building and really with anything else.
Cool.
It just depends on how much you want to spend.
So Let's look a little bit at some comments and see what people are saying here. So, does anybody have something they want to ask Connor?
Let's hear it, guys. I want to hear from you.
Let's look up here and see. This guy says, I'm a golfer, totally want to rip some wedges off on the Lawn Rebels turf. Golfing. Do you golf?
I am not a golfer. I have been to the driving range like 4 times, and that is a lot of fun. I really do like golfing. It's very much fun, but I can't hit the ball straight. I can barely hit the ball for that matter, but I just like shortcut turf. As I get that comment a lot, actually, people wanting to come and hit the, you know, the wedge on the lawn or whatever, and you know, I would say, yeah, sure, come by and hit the wedge once, one time. That's it.
No more.
And if you whiff, you're done. No more of that crap. So, I mean, in reality, my lawn's more of like a fairway height, mm-hmm. height rather than like a putting green. A lot of people say, oh, it looks like a putting green, but it's a half inch to 3/4 inch, so it's more of a fairway style. But a lot of people do want to try that with the golf clubs, but let's do it once.
That's always what I was going for with my shortcut, was like fairway height, because to get an actual green cut, I mean, you've done leveling, but you're talking about like constant leveling all the time.
Top dressing, you know, twice a year, once a year for sure. And it's straight sand and it's bent.
Yep. Someone wanted to know, if you're in construction, did you build your own house or have any part in that?
Yes, I did build the house. Like I said, we are general contractors, so I saved a bunch of money by contracting it myself. I did the framing myself. I did the electrical myself.
Cool.
I did a bunch of other things in the house myself physically. And I built my house in 2013, and it was just a bare lot.
So that, I mean, that seems like that would save a ton.
I saved a lot of money.
To be able
that.
To have those skills would be nice too. Let's see what else someone has said here. What type of Kentucky bluegrass are you using?
That's hard to say, really, because I started with a blend of 4 Kentucky bluegrasses only. I sprayed Hydra Seed, and it's the Rave 4 blend from Agronotech out of Utah or Morgan or something like that. And I don't know what they are. They're not any of the mainstream. Every time I look at the little label that my seed came from, I look at those and I see none of the varieties that I recognize, like
right.
Bewitched or some of these other ones, Midnight.
So when you moved in there and you did hydro seeding, how did that originally go? Because they do that a lot around here, but usually it just ends up being a lot of weeds because it just doesn't fill in quickly enough, and then the soil just takes whatever was there. And you know, how did that go for you?
Well, fortunately in Utah it doesn't rain a lot in the summer, mm-hmm. so I was able to regulate the amount of water I was putting on the lawn to get it to grow. And yeah, it didn't grow in perfectly.
Yeah.
And I want everybody to know, if you're going to seed your lawn, it's not going to grow in perfectly the
right.
first time. He can do that, but for the rest of us, we can't do that.
I don't know about
so
that.
So I had a lot of patchiness going on, a lot. And there was a lot of places I had to reseed. And Tim from Grass Daddy, he did straight Kentucky Blue. And if you watch his videos, you can see that he had a lot of areas that didn't grow in. And I did too, but I was constantly throwing down seed, and I would fertilize it a lot, and I was able to get it to thicken up.
In my backyard that's full bluegrass, I wasn't making videos at the time when I actually did that project, and I had the same thing. Like, there's patches, and you know,
And lots of weeds.
I kept looking at it like, I just want it fast, like it's got to be done faster, but it just, bluegrass is just,
it's slow.
Yes.
But here's the deal that I want everybody to know, and everybody asks me, you know, bluegrass, this and that, and weeds, don't worry about the weeds. Like, yes, you can put Tenacity down as a pre-emergent, and yes, I would recommend that when you seed, But as it continues to grow up, you just got to forget about the weeds for just a minute. Mm-hmm. Those are fairly easy to handle later on mm-hmm. once you can get your stand of grass growing. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I had lots of weeds in my lawn, yep. but I've taken the measures to get them out.
A lot of people are kind of worried about pre-emergence and like, oh, should I seed or should I do pre-emergent? And in my opinion, I always say, like, if our whole end goal is to just have a really thick lawn, then I would be more worried about thickening the lawn and having it prevent the weeds than having a bare spot of dirt and being like, well, I don't want crabgrass there, so I better put out pre-emergent. I mean, that's what I've found in my backyard is as soon as I got it to a thickness where it really nothing else can grow there, a few things, but, you know, relatively.
My lawn is ultra dense and thick.
Yeah.
And, you know, contrary to popular opinion, the shorter you grow your grass, the thicker it gets. Mm-hmm. And everybody says, well, I thought if you grow it shorter or you cut it shorter, then it would be thin. But it just thickens up. It starts to grow out, then up. And yes, I do have some weeds in my lawn, but the thicker it gets and as it's thick, there's just less weeds.
Yep. And specifically, if you're wanting to do something like he's doing or something like I did with the short thing, getting specific varieties of grass that have been genetically like bred to be low cut and to spread low, that's going to help a lot too.
Yeah.
So that's something that...
You know, what's funny is I never had any intention when I seeded my lawn to...
See, I told you that happened to me the other day. The do not disturb on and the phone went off.
So I never had any intention to mow my lawn short when I seeded it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted a regular cut lawn. I wanted it at about 2 or 2.5 inches. I've always cut my lawn at 2 or 2.5 inches since a kid. I never had any intention to be sub 1 inch. It just kind of happened.
That's kind of what I wanted to ask you is at what point did you think, okay, I'm going to get a real mower and I'm going all in on this thing. It's going to be golf course style or fairway style, whatever you want to call it. Because that's a legitimate decision.
Yeah, it is.
And one that I never really thought was possible completely like in a homeowner's yard until I saw you doing it. And I was like, wow, okay, maybe it is something you can do. But what made that decision for you?
It was the pivotal moment was when I saw a picture on Instagram of somebody. It was my brother. He lived in like Vancouver, Washington, mm-hmm. and he was doing it. He started out with bent, and then he had a lot of trouble with bent. Bent is very finicky,
yes.
temperamental. It dies easy, fungus, all that stuff. And so he kept putting in fescues and all these different varieties of grasses, and he would cut it low, and he had a McLean. And he had a picture on Instagram with some stripes and diamonds and, you know, checkerboard pattern. It looked awesome. And I was already cutting my lawn at like, you know, 2 inches or whatever. And everybody was saying, oh, it looks so great. It looks so great. And I saw that picture and I'm like, ooh, I want that. I want that. And so I said, well, what did you do to do that? Mm-hmm. And he told me, he says, first and foremost, the number one thing, get a real mower. And so I'm like, okay. So I started searching for a real mower, and I searched for 6-8 months just because and then I bought a McLean for $100, and that turned out to be not a great mower, and so I got rid of that, and eventually I found the Greensmaster 1000 that I have now, and that thing just, once you get that mower, your world is completely different.
Yeah.
So it wasn't something that I ever really planned on doing. It just kind of evolved into the shortcut lawn. And when I was waiting to find that mower, I had taken my rotary mower all the way down. Mm-hmm. And so at the lowest setting, and I was mowing everything, it was just a regular push mower. And yes, it scalped. Yeah, it scalped for sure, and it still does. But yep.
So when you, how much area of your yard were you first reel mowing? Like, did you start off with an experiment size? Like, I'm just going to do this little front portion, or in true Connor style?
No, dude, don't do that.
Because me,
test this little small spot.
You see my
That's
little
ridiculous.
You see my little test over there?
Yeah.
That's why.
You're not all in.
I'm not.
I tried to talk this guy into freaking doing all Kentucky blue.
He did.
And he wouldn't do it.
But look over there.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's covered in snow today, but I try to talk him in. Do all Kentucky blue first and be patient with the stuff. And then if you want to sew in some rye later, you can do that.
Yeah, you called me.
And he didn't listen to me.
You called me multiple times and you're like, dude, you better be doing just bluegrass. It's only bluegrass. And I was like, no, I love ryegrass.
It's awesome stuff, but it's easy to do later.
I know, but it's also easy to do right away and have an awesome yard.
So, I just decided just to go for it. When I got the McLean, so the one thing that's really important about real mowing is you have to have reel to bed knife contact, tacked. And that's like the scissor action of the mower. And so I didn't know that when I got the McLean. I bought it for $100 and the bed knife was bent. It was kind of like had this curve to it. And there was places that was like a quarter inch of gap. Mm-hmm. But I just went for it anyways. And I'm sure it was tearing the lawn, but it looked great. It's striped. It made stripes and it folded over and it was clean cut. It looked good. And so I just mowed that front section of my lawn first. And I was mowing, you know, every 3 or 4 days or something like that. And then, I tell you, it's a snowball.
Well, yeah, and
it's a slippery slope.
That became, as soon as you went all in on that, then I'm assuming, did you ever think to yourself, like, I have this huge yard and I have this, like, 20-inch mower, yeah, and this is going to be a, like, major commitment?
It is a major commitment. I spend a lot of time in the lawn.
Yeah.
Every day from I go home from work, and that's where I want to be. Like, I'm excited to get off work. I'm excited to go into the lawn and mow. I mean, I don't care if the lawn needs to be mowed or not.
Yeah.
For me, it needs to be mowed. Like, it needs to be mowed every day.
Right.
But do I mow it every day? No, but I'm mowing something almost every day.
Because even with my, like, 3,000 square foot front yard, sometimes I get through, like, a few passes of it, and I'm just kind of like, I love mowing, but then there's certain days where you're like, oh, I kind of don't want to like do this whole yard today, but you have to do it when you have to do it.
You have to mow a lot more. If you're going to go in the real mower world, I tell you what, if you're going to go down that road, it's a slippery slope. So just prepare to put a lot more time into it and really kind of be awesome. I don't know what else to say, but it's so fun for Ryan and I and for lawn geeks. We love to mow the lawn.
Yeah.
Like, don't kid yourself, people. We like to mow.
Yes.
Like, and it's fun for us. So.
It's weird to people. I understand that, but it's the truth. Like, that's the whole point to me when people have been asking me about, have you seen these robot mowers? And have you ever thought, no, I want to mow. Yeah. I don't want a robot. I want to mow.
It's a commitment for sure, and, you know, yes, I had a little small mower. I have 20,000 square feet. I've never had a riding mower. I went to Home Depot and bought a riding mower, a zero-turner Toro, and I asked them, can I take this back before I buy this? I want to know if I can return this. So I brought it home. I mowed it one time, put it all the way down to its lowest setting, and it didn't do anything. It didn't cut anything off, so I took it back, like, that day. And so, yeah, a riding mower would be good for me, but at the same time, like, I kind of like having a small mower because it's intricate. You can get into the small places a lot easier than you can with this big, wide machine.
So we'll touch on the triplex in just a second because I want to ask you about that. But one other thing I wanted to ask you about was when you started that first reel mowing, what was the level of your lawn like at that point? Like, had you done any leveling other than just when you first hydro seeded and tried
Yes.
Okay.
So my lawn is fairly flat right now. It's not to where I want it to be, but it will eventually get there with more time. But anyways, before I seeded, I drag and drag, and I had a drag, and I would get out there with the four-wheeler, and I would drag it and drag it and drag it. And that's something my dad has always done. We've never done sod at my house or whatever. Mm-hmm. We've always planted grass seed and we've always drag. So if you're thinking about putting in a lawn or whatever, the one thing I can recommend is just get it flat before you put the grass seed down, because that is your only opportunity to do it easily. You can make it flat after the fact, but it's a lot more difficult.
And layers and layers.
Yeah, and layers. Yeah. And so I was dragging and dragging and dragging and dragging. And it was pretty flat. But as you know, the soily roads a little bit as it's growing in, and I had some bumps and some dips and depressions, but you know, the sand over the years has kind of.
And that's something that I look forward to when I actually get to like try a real mower on your yard. But that's something that kind of led to my front yard not being as fun this past year, was just because it wasn't very level. And when you're bouncing around with the machine, it just, it's not as good once I got that little area done on that other side. And I saw
what
it was like to just go across a fairly flat surface. It was a major difference. And then it made it easier to mow, one, which on a big area like yours is a requirement to be able to just move along pretty quickly. But it's just, it made it
flat lawn is what makes it look so good. I mean, yeah, it's short or whatever, but because it looks flat, that, in my opinion, is what really sets it off. And people always ask me, they come by and say, how did you get it so flat? And I just said, well, I'm out here. And people always say to me, how did you get your lawn to look like that? And I just tell them, time.
Yep.
I am out here. You come by and I'm out here. You see me every day. I'm out here every day working on it. If you spent that much time in your lawn would look the same.
And speaking of that, your video for leveling, which a lot of people have seen now because I checked it the other day and it was at, it's nearing 1 million views. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. What's up?
So...
yeah, it's pretty exciting.
That's a controversial video.
Very controversial.
Explain to me why people have such a strong opinion on what, on you leveling your yard or anyone else, and why do you think that video has some really crazy comments in
it? Oh, yeah. If you guys haven't read the comments on that video, it's crazy. I don't delete comments. If they're really bad, I'll delete them. Like, if there's profanity and stuff like that, I'll delete them, but I generally don't delete them, and there's some bad stuff in that one. I think it's just because, like...
it got caught on to, the, like, the YouTube algorithm where it takes it to a bunch of people who don't normally watch, lawn videos, and all of a sudden they're like, what is this guy doing? Like, doesn't he have any, you know, it's all of that, but, well, almost 1 million views.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I never thought that that would happen. I knew it would do well because I did another sand video before that did fairly well, but, you know... people want a flat lawn, and so I was just kind of showing how I've done it. But the funny thing is everybody wants to take advice from me about how I did it, but then when they see what I did, they're like, oh, never mind. I don't want to do that because it's sand.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hold any nutrients or whatever. But, you know, and that's something that you have to take into consideration. I think the reason...
But the nutrients are still there in your soil. It's just that you're just using
a fine layer on the top.
You're using it just to level things. That's basically so it stays in place. Because even what I did over there with my native soil, I mean, with freezing and everything that's happened already, I can already tell that it's not as good as it was last year already, just because it gets like that.
So I think a lot of the hate on that video was the fact that, you know, it's just a passion of yours and mine. We have passion to do something like that, and they can't understand that. They don't understand that we like to mow the lawn and we like to do those things. And they're like, a lot of the questions or a lot of the comments in that video just say, why?
Yeah.
Why? Why would you do that? Why would you spend your time? Why would you spend your money doing that? And because I like it. You know, I'd rather be doing that than playing video games. While he's watching, you know, me do my lawn and playing video games, I'm out accomplishing something.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, that's a little bit tough. There's a lot of negativity on that video for sure.
As I remember that, just the first time I looked through it and saw all those comments and stuff, and I was like, people are really mad.
They're mean.
Really mad about this.
Yeah. So,
let's talk about the triplex. So for those of you that don't know, it's basically a golf course riding reel mower. I guess that's what I would call
it.
And so you got one recently, a few months ago.
Yeah.
And what's your plan for that? Is it going to be ready for this year?
Oh, for sure. Even if it's not ready, it's I'm going to use it. I mean, I want to kind of strip it down and cleaned it up. There's a lot of rust on it. It's an older machine. I don't know where it came from, but I got it from Georgia at an auction and paid pretty much more to get it to my house than what I actually paid for the thing. I'm really excited to use it, but it's got a lot of rust. It needs some cleaning up. I need to kind of take some parts apart. It's got a bad cylinder on it, like one of the rams, the hydraulic rams is leaking, so I need to fix that. But yeah, I without a doubt, I'm going to use that this summer. Even if I, even if all I do is just tear the reels apart, the reel cartridges apart, the cutting units, and clean those up. So that's going to be the first thing I do, is just clean up the cutting units and take them to my guy, have those sharpened, and then right then, it's ready to go.
Yeah.
But I want to kind of repaint it and clean up some stuff. It's pretty dirty.
Okay. So the it's diesel, is that right?
Yeah.
So it seems like, I could be wrong, but it seems like you have a fairly knowledgeable background in some mechanical things. Is that something you ever, like, just from family members or something that you learned along the way? Or
I just learned by doing.
Yeah.
You know, YouTubes.
Yep.
You just, like, I need to do this. So what do? You look on YouTube. How to fix this. So right. That's what I've done. And yeah, I've always been into tools. My dad has always been a handyman, and I've always been mechanically inclined. And those things are not difficult. I'm not scared to dive into something. Sometimes it blows up in your face.
I think that's really what it all comes down to, is the lack of fear. Because my dad was a mechanic for 20 years. I don't really have any of those skills. But I think more of mine is like, I'm afraid that I'm going to do something, not be able to figure it out. And so then I'm like, oh, I'm not going to try, type of deal.
Yeah, it's just not a big deal. You just tear into it, and fall off fails, you throw it away. I mean, for Pete's sake, you just get rid of it.
Yeah. So let's take another peek over at the comments and see. First one that just caught my eye is from 888 Huskers. I think you know that name a little bit.
Yeah, I know that guy.
Ask Connor what he's going to do when Castleberry cuts his lawn with scissors and John Perry does donuts in the lawn.
John Perry? I'm going to beat him up. I told him, I said, you both want to be beaten up or just beat up John?
Real Low Dad, you know him as well.
Yes.
Says, I will fly to make the triplex ready for this year.
Yeah.
He's very good.
I want that Mikey at my house.
He's very good at the restoration.
I like that Mike.
Restoration.
Yeah, I want him to come. I will see you, Mike, in Knoxville. I promise you.
Jim Nixon says, you can't have fear if you're a rebel.
Yeah, exactly. You got to just go for it. I mean, here's the deal, guys. You learn by doing. Like, people are scared to put fertilizer on their lawn because they just don't know. And I didn't know that, but Alan Hain told me that people are scared to put fertilizer down. And I didn't realize that.
Yeah, because they're afraid that they're going to do it wrong or kill it.
You just learn by doing. And, you know, there's one thing I'm trying to portray on my channel. The main thing I'm trying to portray is that this stuff is easy, guys. Like, you just do it. And so you have a setback. So you don't do that. If you had a setback, don't do that again. You know? So when something doesn't work right, I don't generally do that again.
I do that to myself a lot, where I try something and then I think, well, I don't like what happened there, so I'm not going to do that again. Pretty much it.
Yeah, it's just not a big deal, especially with cool season grass. You can get away with murder, really, on that stuff. It's just easy to grow.
Here's another question. Connor, are you of Irish heritage?
Oh, probably. I don't know. My parents got one of those DNA things from Ancestry, and, you know, I don't know.
Did you say, though, your mom was Canadian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I grew up going to Canada, spent 2 years in Canada from 2002 to 2002. And, yeah, I went to Canada every year for family vacation. I love Canada. It is a great country.
Here's a question for me. What's the plan for the big part of your front lawn? What are you going to do? I'm going to see what it looks like in the spring, and I'm going to overseed it a little bit because it got a
round up.
No. Well, maybe later. And then if it doesn't look that good, or my plan is I still am thinking about putting in some irrigation there.
Yeah.
Then
I'll swing by.
Then, if you would, then I will probably redo the whole thing, and it might have some ryegrass in there still.
Whatever. Doesn't listen to me, guys.
Connor, why do you wear a Yankees hat?
Are you kidding me? Seriously, you guys ask that? That's like saying, why is the Cowboys America's football team? For real, guys? It's the Cowboys for the NFL, the Yankees for the Major League Baseball. Like, it's that simple. Not every player, but like a lot of players want to play in pinstripes. It's just the way it is. It's the pinnacle of your career to play in pinstripes. Sorry, 27 rings. Scoreboard, pal.
It's true, but...
Yankees.
I couldn't pick my teams. I already told you this, and you said, you can change. And I said, no, I can't.
You can change.
I can't.
Yankees, you know, here's the reason with the Yankees. They are America's team, yes. Haters are going to hate. But here's the deal. They are not afraid to do what it takes to win. So they're willing to spend money. And guess what? Baseball can be a little bit slow to watch, guys.
Yeah.
So, do you guys like the long ball? If you like the long ball, then watch the Yankees, because they hit the long ball.
Yep.
That's why I like the Yankees, because they win. And who doesn't like to win?
That's why I don't like the Yankees, because they win too much. Well,
it makes it funner to watch, because they win.
Here's the reason, though, before why people hated them so much is because they bought so many players and they had so much money, more than most other teams, and then everyone was like, this isn't fair, that type of thing.
Well, whatever. You guys can suck it.
Patriots are America's team. That's football. Do you watch any football?
A little bit,
not much.
I more so prefer college football.
Okay.
But no, I don't have a team.
Castleberry says, Yankees boo, also Coke.
Yeah, Coke. What up?
I'm trying to find some more that I missed. Do you guys ever think WTF when strangers walk on your lawn?
I actually kind of like it when people come on to my lawn. You know, it's a compliment when somebody wants to, you know, walk on the lawn to me. Because they come by and say, well, is that real? I'm like, well, yeah, get on the lawn. Take your shoes off and get your butt on the lawn. Oh, are you for real? Can I walk on it? I'm like, yeah. What do you think this is? Like, I don't know. Get your butt over here and walk on it.
I had that happen to me the first time during Halloween when somebody was walking by and they're like, is that real grass or is it fake? I was like, it's real.
Yeah,
like,
it's real.
You can go walk on it. It's fine.
That is the whole goal for us. For me, at least, I want it to look super nice, so nice that it looks like AstroTurf, like fake. Mm-hmm. And so that's the goal, to make it look so good that it looks perfect. And so, yeah, I like it when people come. Like, if somebody was to drive on my lawn, that would be a different story. I would not like that at all. But
yes.
If somebody wants to come on the lawn and, you know, take the shoes off, I'm all for it.
I missed the person, the name, but I saw someone say, what's the reasoning why you don't want to overseed in the spring? And that mainly has to do with whether you want to seed or use pre-emergent, because you can't do both of those at the same time. So that was the question of why you would not want to add seed in the spring.
Well, you got this. You got the grass Nazis that will say you can't seed in the spring because you're gonna ruin your life.
Mm-hmm.
But
you can.
You know, I planted my grass in the middle of June. It wasn't good, but I did it.
Yeah.
And I planted a large portion of my front lawn April 1st. It works. But
the only thing,
you may not have as good of success, but it'll work.
I'd say for our climate, as far as like a Midwest climate that's a little bit warmer, obviously that's why the fall works. It just works because it's warm yet when you plant, so it's easy to germinate, but then it's not so hot. Like, it gets hot here enough to like kill new grass.
So that's the other thing I just wanted to say really quick is that, you know, I know my climate, but there's, you know, hundreds of different climates, microclimates everywhere. And I know it works good for my climate, but I don't know what would work for your climate because I just don't know it. And the same for like Seattle or like New York or some of these warm season climates and stuff like that. I just don't know. I know what works for my climate and I could give you recommendations, but It's very difficult that way because we all have different elements that we deal with.
So you talked about at some point maybe doing a renovation on your lawn, maybe a mono stand. Is that something you still think?
Mrs. Ward. She doesn't want me to do that. I want to bad, guys. Like, seriously, if you're lawn nutty like we are, that's the ultimate. Like, freaking change the thing out for fun. Like, you could. I would take Roundup or glyphosate to my front lawn. Like, I would do it this year. But my wife's like, oh, no, I don't want you to do that. So, I don't know. I just think it would be fun to do. I just do. Yeah, it would set me back like 2 years, but... Like, if you've seen Pete on the lawn forum, Pete1313, that dude, he killed it. Yeah, he's got like 38,000 square feet, and he killed it with the renovation, and it looks awesome.
I have seen that, and yes, he has a huge yard, and is it the same type of mower that you have now? The
He has a Deer.
Okay, yeah, it was, yeah, never mind, not Toro. But I think you could probably accomplish it pretty fast at your location just because of your irrigation's all set and everything's good to go.
I could do it, and I want to do it. I want to do a monostand. I want to do a Kentucky bluegrass monostand, and I know that's very controversial, you know, disease and this and that, and I understand the ramifications of a monostand. I know. But I think it'd be a lot of fun to try that, just to have everything all simple and just even, all the same color. I'm not scared of that.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares? I mean, if it goes bad, you just put some more seed down.
What variety do you think you would like if you were picking just one?
I was thinking like Everglade or Midnight.
Yeah.
Everglade or Midnight or like Bewitched probably. Okay.
Midnight.
Oh, I need to get hooked up with that Seed Superstore.
You do?
Yeah.
You do for sure. I'm sure that Drew would help you out.
Yeah, I need to do that. But it's not likely going to happen, so.
Yeah, that's...
If I get my wife to sign off on it, I would do it.
Did you... This is going back to YouTube a little bit. So, you were watching videos for a long time, as you said, and then you kind of just started thinking, like, I have something... What made you think, I'm going to just make these videos? Was it anything specific? You just thought it'd be fun? You just wanted to... What was it, do you think? Because one of the first videos that I saw of yours, I just remember thinking, like, this is to a new level. Like, I've never seen a homeowner yard like this ever. And so was it that you thought you had something unique to show people, or?
You know, I never realized that it was that unique mm-hmm. until I started making YouTube videos. To me, it was just my lawn. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, oh, this is fun to do. I really like it. But then I started showing it on YouTube. And people kind of told me that this is unique, and people kind of wanted to see how I accomplished that and what I do to make that happen. And that was kind of, I guess, a large driving factor for me to continue making videos. Mm-hmm. You know, what you guys see on the videos, that's me. Like, am I churching it up for the videos? Maybe a little bit, but at the same time, what you see is what you get with me. And so I just kind of decided to go for it and let it go.
That's what I think is very unique about, well, I don't know if I use the word unique, but it's just from knowing you now for a few hours in person, it's exactly like you said, exactly like on the camera. There's really no difference. I think that that's kind of hard to do for most people. Like for me, I just, once I get the camera on, and I'm becoming much more comfortable with it now, but especially starting out, you just become a little bit more guarded. You become a little bit just reserved more than you maybe normally would be. But for you, it doesn't seem like that happens. And that's something to really cherish, because it creates an intrigue already. Like anytime I see your video pop up, like, oh, what's Connor up to now? Like, you're just thinking in your head right away, like, what is he going to do now? You can't get any better than that on YouTube, because it's all about trying to get people interested in what is this person doing.
You know, I think the main draw with me is it is the lawn. And so I have passion for the lawn, and people tell me I can see it in you. Mm-hmm. Like, they can see, hey, I can see that you have passion for the lawn. And I legitimately do. I love it. I want to be out there. It's where I want to spend my time.
Right.
So it is unique, yeah. And so I just decided to show it. And when somebody kind of told me it was unique, I just decided, well, I would like to share this with other people. You know, who doesn't love getting compliments when people walk by and say, oh, that looks nice. Mm-hmm. You know, am I doing it for the compliments? I don't know, maybe. But at the same time, like, everybody out there in the YouTube's world doesn't You know, they're not going to be able to come by and see what it really looks like. So I decided, well, if they like it, I'm sure a lot of other people will want to see this too.
Yep.
And so that's kind of what drove me to make more videos. And then I kind of took my walls down and kind of let my personality kind of show through a little bit. And,
right.
You know, who knows where it'll end up. I don't know.
So we didn't grow up with YouTube or the internet or social media at the beginning. So
right.
What do your kids think of you being like kind of a character on YouTube, or because for kids
know. Nowadays
it's pretty normal, but
they don't really watch my videos. I mean, they're kids. They're yeah. like 10 and 8 and they watch those other videos for kids.
But I mean,
I don't know.
Have they ever commented like, oh, my dad's on YouTube or
yeah. It's weird. Like being on YouTube is a weird thing. I never really thought it would happen like this or it would happen at all. It's just, it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. Like it's fun making videos. Like I like editing the videos. I like to, you know,
it's the whole process.
It's
really.
Fun. Yeah. It is fun. And the best thing about YouTube, hands down, are the people, like the friends that you make and the people that comment. Those are gold. Those people are gold. I mean, a lot of people don't comment on YouTube videos, and I can understand why. I didn't generally do that, but when somebody says something nice in the comments, it makes you want to do more and to make another video. And you know, when they say something nice, you're like, you are the reason that I'm doing this.
Yeah. Sometimes it can get a little bit, I wouldn't call it like it gets old, but it can get a little discouraging just sometimes when you're kind of like not feeling it, but then you see those positive things. And for me, it's the same. Like I go through and I'll make something and I see a bunch of positive things and I'm like, wow, I just needed to keep doing this because those are fun things.
I just never thought that anybody would want to watch me mow the lawn and or just do whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like whatever comes out of my mouth is going to come out of my mouth, you know? Am I filtering some stuff via the editing? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I've let a lot of it go through because who cares? You know, it could be funny sometimes. Sometimes it's stupid. Sometimes it's fun.
Do you have any specific other YouTubers, like maybe outside of this whole genre that you like? Like what are some of your favorite channels other than lawn stuff?
I like Alan Hain.
Who doesn't?
Like seriously, you kidding me? I watch a lot of YouTube, yes, but a lot of the stuff I watch is lawn care related. I know it sounds crazy.
No, I do too.
I just watch a lot of it. I've watched a lot of Wrangler Star stuff. I don't even know. I've watched some of those homesteader guys, some guys up in Northern Idaho, Pure Living for Life. I've watched them and I don't know.
Yeah. I've watched
what's that guy in Canada? What is his name? Oh, that dude is so freaking funny. He just breaks things down. He takes he buys an Instant Pot or any other tool and he'll take it completely apart.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I can't think of that guy's name, but that dude is funny. He is funny and informational too. Like Terrell Fixes All. I've watched a lot of his videos, and I've learned a ton of stuff from him on how to fix small engines and stuff like that. So, a lot of the stuff I watch is just kind of thrown in my face via YouTube.
Right. Just the recommended stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to watch a lot of like filmmaking type of vlog type of stuff just because it gives me good ideas on how to film better and learn skills like that way and stuff. So Craig Adams is one that I like. Peter McKinnon, a lot of people know him. Stuff like that.
There's so much. Like with YouTube, it's so open. There's just, if you want to learn anything, you can learn it there. And it's just crazy the kind of information that is out there on the YouTube.
So when did this mustache thing start? And how did that just come about as far as like, I'm going to have the sweet mustache and go for it? Because that's a go for it moment.
Yeah, it is. And it was tough at first, for sure. I guess I'm a rebel. Like, I'm the type of guy that if I just want to do what everybody else is not doing. So if mustaches came in, I would likely shave it and grow a beard. So it's like, if that's the end thing, then I'm not going to be doing it. So it's kind of like, you know, I think mustaches are going to come back, but it kind of, I just decided to go for it one day, and I was like, this is going to be silly, so I just decided to just shave it into a mustache, and it was short, and I was like, oh, I have to go out in public with this thing on. I just, and it was weird. I was like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. And everybody, you know, you get all the comments, that's creepy mustache, this and that and everything, but, you know, as it grows and as long you have it, you just become comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And I've shaved it on my channel like a couple times and everybody keeps telling me to grow back.
Yeah, I agree. It
and
looks
so
good.
It's fun. Like, it's a conversation starter. It's just fun. It's a little bit annoying at times,
yeah,
you know, when you're trying to eat and stuff like that, but yeah, it's worth it.
See, I tried.
And it's me now.
And I can't do it.
Yeah, you're right. You tried.
I did.
You chickened out.
Well, yeah, because
you shaved it.
It was like 2 weeks in, and I cannot grow anything thick.
Liar.
It looked terrible.
He's lying, guys.
Terrible.
You just didn't try it. Everybody said, well, I can't grow a mustache. I can't either.
No, you can.
You just have to give it a shot.
So how about, could we get a mullet to go with it, do you think?
Oh, mullet, guys. That's tempting. I tell you, if I was self-employed, I would have a mullet like tonight. And my wife is here. My wife's here downstairs yelling at me saying, no, 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 no. I'd say, yeah, I want that. What's that dude?
She doesn't like me for asking that question.
Who is that guy? Larry the Enticer. Okay. Have you seen his videos? Okay, he's the short on the top, long in the back. Yeah, I would go for it. If I was self-employed and I didn't have to worry about, like, you know, customers and stuff like that, yeah, I'd do it. But it just doesn't work. Like, I still have to have a job and be respectable. And, you know, I was kind of growing my hair out, like, maybe a year and a half ago or a year ago, kind of in the back. But I tell you, I would do it right now, and I'm not scared to sport that, but my wife is adamantly against it.
Someone was making fun of your haircut earlier on the stream I saw.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said that on something. They said, you should have never cut your hair. I'm like, well, you know, such is life.
Actually, so I put out something on my last video and said, if you have any questions for Connor, write a few questions. So I want to get to a couple of those, and then we'll go back to the stream here in a second and check some of those. So one of them was from Benjamin. What were your first lawn tools? Do you remember, like, any of your, like, maybe the first mower even that you used at your parents, something like that?
As a kid or as an adult?
Either one. I have a good one for when I was a kid, so you can do whatever.
You know, when I was a kid, my dad actually had a real mower. It was a McLean, and I remember thinking, well, what's that thing? It's so much different than the traditional rotary mower. And we would just generally use the rotary mower, and then every once in a while I'd pull out the McLean and use that. We cut the lawn around 2.5 inches or so. I just kind of grew up doing that. I never had any intentions to have any kind of lawn like that ever. I grew up in a crazy yard home. My mom is totally into flowers and totally into landscape. My parents are always making me out there pull weeds, work in the yard. I just hated it. I hated working in the yard as a kid. I hated it. And so when I got married, I told my wife, said, you know, I'm not doing that. I want the lawn that goes straight up to the house, so all I have to do is mow it and be done, you know. But it changed for me, because when I became a homeowner, and that now that was mine, because I was always renting before, and when it became mine, it just changed, and I just wanted something different. And so I started at my first lawnmower as, you know, me, was just a lawnmower that I got for free. It was an old MTD mower that was probably around about a 2006 push mower. I still have it today, and I still use it. Actually, it's worn down and old, but that was the first mower, and I accomplished a crap load of awesome stuff with that cheap mower. You know, I put it all the way down and I worked it down, and it's awesome. I still have it. But
so have you ever heard of a mower called a Big Mow?
No.
Okay, I don't know who made it, I can't remember, but my parents used to have one. It's the first mower that I remember using. It was like a three-wheeled mower. So it had a front wheel and then two in the back, and the front one turned like all the way around, so you could like go in circles.
Oh.
And the deck, I believe, was almost like a fixed deck, like you really couldn't change the height on it. Really slow.
A riding mower?
Yes, but so it was like sitting there, you'd just be going along like super slow. There was two speeds. Just a little flip of a switch, but fast was not fast. It was like, so if you don't know what that is, search it, because you'll see. That's one of the first mowers that I ever used. Piece of junk. I got it stuck in a hole once. There was a little tiny hole, and since it only had the front drive wheel, got it stuck in that little hole. Couldn't go anywhere.
You know, growing up in the house that I did, my parents were always into the lawn and landscape, more so into the landscape more than the lawn. So they always had good equipment. It was always walk behinds because our lawn wasn't really ever that big. Mm-hmm. But my dad always had good stuff.
This question was from John. What feedback, obstacles, and challenges did you have to overcome in transitioning from a traditional lawn to a shorter lawn? Any major things that you remember that was really kind of tough on the transition part? You've talked a lot about...
The major thing for transitioning, and I cannot stress this enough, is dethatching.
Yep, that's what I was going
to
say.
So you just have to do it. I mean, whether or not you want to call it thatch or not, it may not be thatch, but it's just that spongy layer that's on top of the soil that is kind of like a root layer that just lives on top of the soil. And you can't grow your lawn short or cut it short if you've got that. You have to mechanically remove that.
Because as you start cutting into that, it will just be looking like you're just all just yellow. Gross.
It just look yellow. So you have to mechanically remove that, whether it's with your mower by, you know, cutting into it and making it look bad, or with a thatch rake or with a thatch machine or something. You have to remove that. And you know, last May or April or something, I think you guys all saw where I scalped my lawn in the backyard. I took it from about 3 inches down to a half inch, I think, or about a half inch in one mow. And that was really bad. I don't recommend doing that ever. But I just wanted to see what would happen. And so that was a prime example of what it would look like if you took it from tall to short. Mm-hmm. It looked bad for a good month. And then eventually, just by continuing to cut it, over and over, it grew out of it, and it, you know, it was awesome.
Yeah,
but yeah, the thatch, that is the biggest thing. This one is a rail mower, and two, thatching.
And one thing that
dethatching.
Ben from Lawn Tips told me to about if you're going to go to a lower cut and you are traditionally higher, is go a little bit lower than you want to actually cut on the first couple times. Because it will like shock the grass a little bit, and then it starts to grow up from there, and then you'll move the height up just a little bit, and it helps a little bit.
So that Johnny Ware on the lawn form, he is awesome that way. And I kind of have heard him say that so many times. Mm-hmm. For warm season, Bermuda especially, scalp that sucker down low and then raise it up to where you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And you might have to reset that every so often during the season, but what you said is exactly true.
Yeah.
Mow it down low and then raise it up a little bit and go for it there.
Let's go back to the stream. Let's get a few final questions here for Connor. We're running at just over an hour now. Does it feel like
that? Wow.
So
I love you guys. So I just want you guys to know that you guys are the ones that make this worth it for us. Mm-hmm. For me, at least. I mean, yeah. If it wasn't for people that watch us, it just, you know, screw it. It's you guys are the people that make it fun for us and then make it possible for us to do it as well. So possible, I don't know about that. I could still go out there and mow, but
there's so many just highs, questions. Let's see here what's coming in now.
I can't see the stream, chat stream, so
Matt. Oh, Matt's here, the Grass Factor.
Oh, I love that guy, Matt. You're awesome.
I love you, Connor. Ryan, you're so dreamy.
Oh, he is. You should see him in person. He's even more dreamy.
I got a new Vikings hat.
Yeah. You guys what about that hat?
It's flat, Bill. I don't look good in that.
Flatch, Matt.
But it's displayed. Look at that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I mean, it's right up there for everyone to see. Let's see. So are you excited for the meetup tonight?
Yes, I am.
We're doing a meetup here in Des Moines, and everyone's hopefully going to brave the snow that happened outside today.
If they're not, they're wussies.
Jesse said, Connor, how did you become so handy with all your knowledge and abilities? We talked about that a little bit, but you do a lot of YouTube watching.
Yeah. You know, before YouTube, I'm not afraid to dive into something, and I've always been hands-on. My dad's always been like that, so I kind of learned that from him. And I hope my son kind of gets that from me as well, that it's just, you can't be scared to dive into a project. sometimes it doesn't always turn out like it should, like that John Deere mower that I'm working on. I sure hope that thing goes back together like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
It's in pieces. But, you know, if it doesn't, who cares? Just throw it in the garbage. It's gone.
How many people have RSVP'd to the meetup? We have about 25, hopefully.
That'll be fun.
It's a big crowd.
It's going to be fun. I'm glad we're doing this.
Do you have your speech prepared?
Yeah. Kidding me?
Connor, how do you keep your mustache so thick?
Morganite?
Oh, man. Favorite beer? Connor does not drink, he drinks Coke. And my favorite beer? Oh, I don't have a favorite beer. I like too many kinds of beer. It just depends on the time of the year and what I'm into. But what else? Anything else? Do you have anything for 2019 that you're specifically looking forward to? Any thoughts for this year going forward?
Yeah. Triplex.
Well, yeah.
Triplex.
That's what I would think.
Like, that's a simple question. Okay. Like, that's an easy answer for sure. But no, for real, like 2019, like 2018 was awesome. Like, I met so many cool people in 2018. You know, I met you in 2018. I met, you know, all the rest of the guys, John Ware, and Matt from the Grass Factor, John Perry.
You went to Alan's house.
You know, I went to Alan's house in 2018. Like, I have met so many cool people. I've made so many good memories in 2018. And so if 2019 is anything like 2018, it's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, forget mowing the lawn. I would rather just go out and tour and do the rounds.
I think that. Yeah, that's kind of
fun.
What I have planned to try to visit a lot of people this year. That's one thing that I want to do for sure.
I actually am going to be at Lawncology in February. So if any guys are kind of on the fence on that, you should come.
Mm-hmm. That's February 20th through the 22nd in
Orlando. Yeah.
And that Friday evening, I think the first couple nights are just for pros, like pro companies. And then the last night they're having a homeowner night. Where we will be there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be fun.
Anything else that I see that I want to talk about? Ryan, I hope...
Do we have anybody to thank for the super chats?
Ryan, I hope you took inventory of your belongings. Connor might take a souvenir.
Don't tell him that! You guys are losers!
You were
supposed to tell him that.
You were going to try to take one of our dogs, but that's going to be tough to do.
Those dogs, man, they're good dogs.
They're really good dogs.
I don't know. I'll just have to take a look around and see what I can get. This guy needs a bird. That's what he needs is a bird.
A pink one?
Whatever, dude.
Whatever color I want.
Yeah, you need a pink bird.
Okay. Well, guys, I appreciate so much everyone tuning in for this. I appreciate this guy for traveling all the way here and... It's been awesome, a lot of fun. I can't wait for our little meetup tonight, too, and getting to meet your wife as well today, who's very nice and lovely.
Yeah, so, yeah, thanks for having me. I am so glad to be first and to be on here, and, yeah, I'm looking forward to the meetup and more to come in 2019, and we've got to get you at my house mowing my grass,
and I'll bring
my lawnmower.
I'll bring my drone too. Yeah, we need some drone footage of your place.
Yeah, I just don't have one. I have a fake drone or whatever.
That would be cool.
But yeah, I definitely want you guys to come out. Want you to come out to my lawn and mow it. Alan Haynes gonna come out to my lawn or come out to my house as well.
I'm planning on it. We haven't figured out a time exactly.
I want
Matt Martin
to be there too. He's listening.
Matt, all right, yeah. All right, guys, we are a little bit over our time frame, but it was a lot of fun, so thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see ya.
Okay, I appreciate you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.